Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You can find this on page 1068 of your Pew Bibles. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Some of you feel like you're really far away. Holly's smiling at me like, "Yeah, I'm really far away. That's just fine. One of these days, I'm just going to block off those pews and say, 'No more, no more.'" Anyway. Well, but they're in the front, so I have to go behind them to get to them. I swear I'm trying to preach. I've been calling this the season of the Spirit because we have this really bad habit. Pentecost Sunday, I stand up here and play guitar, and Bob plays his bagpipes, and we invite people to share their gifts of the Spirit and do different things. And then we put the Holy Spirit back in her box of things that we believe in but disconcert us, and we leave her in the box for another year. And so I wanted this to be the season of the Spirit, season of acknowledging the Holy Spirit within us and following the Spirit's call in our lives, following the talents that we have and using those talents to share Christ's love with the world. But we have this problem as people, this habit that we have, that we hear God's call, we hear it, and then we have these questions that we have to ask ourselves. Am I worthy? Am I good enough? We ask ourselves these questions, and we use these questions to not answer the call. But these questions don't just come from us. We are taught these questions. From the time we're about yay big, the first time we fail at being a good person, we're taught, "No, you're not good enough." When I was little, I was trying to think of how old I was. I was probably 8 or 9. And I was struggling with doing the same naughty thing over and over and over. And someone close to me, very close to me, told me that I was a whiteboard, that my soul was a whiteboard. And every time I prayed to God to forgiveness, he would wipe the whiteboard clean. But you know what a whiteboard is like. You can only get it so clean every time. And so eventually, it's going to get too dirty for God to clean. I was taught when I was young by somebody I loved and I assumed loved me that I could sin enough for God to stop loving me. And I'd be willing to bet everyone in this congregation had some sort of similar thing, lesson in their life. When they were young, when they were older, somebody told you, you're not good enough for God to love you. It's a lesson that we learn. And so when we start feeling God's call in our life, when God starts saying, hey, you're supposed to go to seminary. Hey, you're supposed to be a missionary. Hey, you're supposed to lead a camp. You're supposed to teach children. We ask ourselves those questions because we have been taught we aren't good enough. And so we ask ourselves those questions. Am I worthy? Am I good enough? I've always loved Isaiah's call story. Even when I was young, when I got confirmed, I gave the sermon for our confirmation Sunday. But even at that age, I didn't connect with Jeremiah's young person call story. I connected with Isaiah's. That idea that God would call a broken person to a great ministry. God would call somebody who knew they were broken, aware of their sins, to a great ministry. Now, we're going to talk in a minute about how broken Isaiah says he is. But I realized something about this passage that I had never seen before. It never clicked with me. This whole story is happening in and around the temple, which means Isaiah is ritually clean. By human standards, he is good enough. He's had successful ministry before this. The first five chapters are Isaiah being a prophet. He is a successful prophet in his own right. By human standards, by Jewish purity standards, Isaiah is good enough. Isaiah's done it. The temple staff has let him in without problem. He probably exceeds human standards. He probably exceeds what humans and Jews would want him to be as a prophet. According to the people around him, he is good enough. And yet, when faced with the Almighty, he asks himself, even in the flash, those questions again. Am I worthy? Am I good enough? And an important thing here is his answer is a resounding and fearful no, I'm not. Isaiah knows what happens when humans look upon God, they die. That's what he's saying. Woe is me. I'm going to die now. Like, that's what's going to happen. I can see God. I'm going to die now. And then he goes on to say, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in a people of unclean lips. I'm going to apologize to the PNC now. You've heard this illustration. I said it at my neutral pulpit. Everyone else, this will be new. When Isaiah says he has unclean lips, in terms of a clean translation, that's probably the best, and that's what almost every translation puts. But if you want something more descriptive, what he's actually saying is he has leprous lips. Now, if you wanted to do something terrible, you could pull out your phone and do a Google image search for leprosy. I wouldn't recommend it. That's from experience. But you could. And the images you would get are of sores, festering, some oozing, the pain, the being permanently unclean. Now, Clearly, Isaiah does not actually have physical leprous lips, but the words that come out of his mouth make his lips leprous, and the words that come out of the Israelites' mouth make their lips leprous. So what are they saying that's so bad? Now, I have heard pastors in the past say, oh, it's because they were cussing or saying blue-collar jokes. I'm quite positive that God rolls his eyes at how much we worry about F-bombs and off-color jokes. I'm not saying I'm going to start using them in the middle of worship, but I'm pretty sure God is not that concerned about it. God is much more concerned about words that do not show love, about taking the judgment that God is only qualified for and taking it upon ourselves, creating standards that exclude people from ministry. Now, I'm not getting on a there should be no ordination tangent here, but standards that tell people you are not good enough to even be a minister for Jesus or to even be part of our people. Words that say that I am as good as God and you are not. I'm quite positive that's what Isaiah is worried about here. That's what he sees his people doing. And so when faced with the Almighty, he's asked those questions and he answers them. I am not worthy. I am not good enough. God's like, yeah, you're dead on. You're not. God doesn't tell Isaiah, no, it's okay. It's fine. You're okay. He doesn't scold Isaiah for mentioning how broken he is. God does not make sure that Isaiah thinks, ah, you are just somehow good enough. That's not what happens. What happens is God's like, you aren't good enough, but we will make you good enough. The seraph takes the coal and cleans his lips. The sin that Isaiah cannot solve on his own, the heavenly beings are willing to heal for him. God calls Isaiah in his broken state, but he does not expect Isaiah to stay in that broken state. God calls Isaiah and heals Isaiah and provides that strength that Isaiah will need. God answers those questions for us, just maybe not in the way we're expecting. Am I worthy? I will make you worthy. Am I good enough? I will make you good enough. Do I have the strength to do this? Rely on me and draw from me. We live in a culture that tells us that we are supposed to be worthy. We are supposed to meet a purity standard. We live in a culture that tells us we have to cross a bar to be good enough. We live in a culture that says we believe Jesus died for us and God makes us better, but demands that we accomplish this on our own. Which is funny. It's funny to believe that somebody might not be worthy of God's call in their life because God is the one that is calling them. God has decided to put a call in someone's heart. They are worthy of that call. They may not be good enough on their own. They may not be worthy on their own. But if God has placed that call in their life and God is with them, God will make them worthy of that call and good enough for that call. The Spirit resides in each and every one of you in this room. You have talents and gifts to use. I don't have time to point at each and every one of you and tell you what your talents are, but you know them. You may be convinced they're not good enough, but they are. And God has called you to ministries in the church and in the world. And by virtue of God calling you, you are worthy of that calling. God has made a decision to call you. Like Isaiah, God, you cannot make yourself worthy. You cannot earn this somehow. But God makes you worthy. God makes you strong enough. God calls you. In your broken state, God calls you. In your broken state, Jesus came to save you. In your broken state, the Holy Spirit enters you and gives you talents and gifts. Notice I didn't say anyway in there. In your broken state, as you are right now, God is calling you, offering himself up, saying, if you are not strong enough, I am here. Draw from me. Rely on me. Lean on me. Worthiness is not an excuse to not answer the call. There are platitudes I could say. We had this thing in seminary that we loved to say, but I don't want to give you platitudes today. I want to give you a dead-on straight thing. God is calling you. If you think I'm not talking to you, you're wrong. I am talking to each and every person gathered here. God is calling you. And by God calling you, you are worthy. So answer that call. Use the gifts that the Spirit has put within you to show Christ's love in your way and the Spirit's way to this church and the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.